Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 93 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Tandy Wallingford.
And so we wanted to kind of give them more space to move around, can chat, and see what everybody has to offer.
Moorhead State University will host EcoFest on Wednesday.
The second annual model train show will be this weekend in Moorhead.
Kentucky's governor and lieutenant governor met in court this morning.
Kentucky's labor cabinet has completed its sick out investigation.
A judge has pushed back the trial of a Marshall University student accused of rape.
In sports, Rowland County's boys soccer team hosts Bourbon County tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 70. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
Moorhead State University's Eagle Fest will be held Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. The event will be spread across three locations, the Aduck Commons, the Lawn of Fields Hall, and the Allied Young Lawn. Associate Director of Leadership Programming and Inclusion, Shannon Colvin, says students can explore student organizations, activities, and ways to be involved on campus and in the community.
We have student organizations that have booths, we have community partners that have booths, and we have booths from local pizza places, churches, Kentucky Fish and Wildlife is there, Cave Run Lake Sheltoy Trace is there. And so we really want students to know what opportunities they have to get engaged and involved and find things to do that are fun to them or interest them or they're passionate about.
The event is free and open to all MSU students. To register for a booth at Eagle Fest, visit moorheadstate.edu/EagleFest.
The Moorhead Conference Center will host the second annual Model Train and Railroad Show. The Moorhead History and Railroad Museum is sponsoring the show. Steve Young is a member of the museum. He says the event will have something for everyone.
We're going to invite several model railroad clubs to come in and exhibit some of their traveling layouts. Big kids as well as small kids, I think, are going to really enjoy that. Of course, there will be lots of vendors there, so there'll be folks there that can talk with folks who are maybe just interested in getting into modeling.
Kids will be able to ride a 1/8 scale model railroad outside the conference center. There will be entertainment and door prizes for those who attend. The History and Railroad Museum across the street will also be open, and entry is free. The show will take place on August 24th from 10 to 5 and on August 25th from 12 to 5.
A retired Marine is bicycling his way across Kentucky, hoping to inspire others. Purple Heart recipient Matt Bradford lost his legs and his vision to an IED in 2007 during the Iraq War. The statewide trek will take him from Ashland to Fort Campbell. Bradford tells WKYT one of the best parts of the trip is the people he meets along the way.
We've met a lot of great people, and that's the one thing that I love about this state is these small communities, and there's so many patriots out here, and they'll see the truck, the trailer, and they'll just walk up and ask us what we're doing, and many of them, many times, are veterans.
Bradford and his team continue to bike up to 70 miles each day.
A Lexington hospice is utilizing therapy dogs to make patients feel more comfortable. Bluegrass Care Navigators are training three puppies to be therapy dogs. The dogs will be used as a part of the new integrative medicine program. Vice President of Philanthropy Laura Klum tells WKYT the therapy dog program will complement the needs of patients' clinical care.
We're one of the first hospices in this area to formalize a program. We've always embraced complementary medicine. This just helps us make it formal. So we'll have our own art therapist, our own music therapist, and begin to work with providing the services more directly.
BCN is holding a naming contest for the three puppies to raise money for their training. Those who make an online donation can submit a name. To donate and submit a name, visit the Bluegrass Care Navigators website.
Property taxes in Fayette County could soon be going up. The proposed increase moved forward at a special tax levy meeting last week at the County School District Central Office in Lexington. According to WKYT, the proposal translates to a $7 increase for a $100,000 house. Board members Will Nash and Tyler Murphy voiced their concerns during the meeting.
I was against raising the tax rate because I think Fayette Countyans have invested a lot of money in the school system over the last several years. What we haven't seen is the state keep up with their end of the bargain.
We need to be in a position where if we do ask for additional revenue or we do get additional revenue, that is translating to our children in the classroom, because that is the heart of what we do.
The school board will hear public comments on the tax levy proposal at its next meeting. That's August 26th.
West Virginia conservation groups are fighting a plan to use U.S. Department of Energy clean power funds for a huge petrochemical project. The state's congressional delegation is pushing for the Appalachian Storage Hub to get $1.9 billion in loan guarantees designated for clean energy development. But Dustin White with the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition says it's not even an energy project, much less a clean one.
There is nothing about this that is going to be clean. From cradle to grave, from the moment these natural gas liquids are fracked to the plastic pollution, is not clean in any way.
The U.S. House has passed an amendment to stop the use of those loan guarantees from going to any project that doesn't reduce greenhouse gas pollution. That legislation could block the funding for this mammoth underground storage facility, but the bill's future in the Senate is very much in doubt.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine signed House Bill 6 last month, which will put an energy tax on electric customers in the state. The tax will subsidize two nuclear plants and two coal plants in Ohio. Richard Hill is a resident near the Clifty Creek coal plant, which has been around since the 1950s. He says investing in the aging plant is wasteful and dangerous to the environment.
They're trying to force ratepayers to pay for something that's not economical and not clean, and there are definitely better alternatives that they should be exploring.
Hill says the jobs the plants provide are outdated and the bill will add to pollution in the region, despite lawmakers' argument that it will incentivize renewable energy. Proponents of the bill say the subsidies will secure jobs and save money in Ohio. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, offering paper and document shredding services for Moorhead and Round County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Secure, confidential, and HIPAA-compliant. Drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. That's 784-1250. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center, keeping the environment clean and green. 784-1250. Facebook and online at moorheadrecycling.org.
A judge is telling Kentucky's governor and lieutenant governor to settle their differences. A hearing was held this morning in a lawsuit filed by Lieutenant Governor Jeanine Hampton against the Bivens administration. She is seeking the reinstatement of two top staffers who were fired by the administration. Hampton claims she is in charge of her staff, not Bivens.
I interviewed my people, everybody who's worked in my office. I've interviewed them. I've made a determination and determined their salaries. And even the increases, I initiated that. I decided that they were being underpaid.
Franklin Circuit Judge Philip Shepard urged the two sides to resolve the matter out of court. Hampton was dropped from the Bivens re-election ticket. However, she tells reporters that she still supports Bivens' re-election.
Bivens' administration is refusing to give Planned Parenthood a license to operate an abortion clinic at its downtown Louisville location. The Courier-Journal reports a Friday letter from the Cabinet for Health and Family Services says Planned Parenthood performed 23 abortions between December 3, 2015 and January 28, 2016. At the time, Planned Parenthood was trying to obtain a state license. A judge previously found Planned Parenthood had been following directions of state officials when it began operations in December of 2015. Planned Parenthood issued a new release on Friday, accusing the administration of refusing to comply with a court order to expedite the licensing. For now, EMW Women's Surgical Center in Louisville remains the only abortion clinic in Kentucky. It provides about 3,300 abortions each year.
The Kentucky Labor Cabinet has finished its investigation into this year's teacher sick outs. KNN's Haley Hansen has the story.
Thousands of Kentucky teachers use sick days to protest changes to three education-related bills during this year's legislative session. Several schools were forced to close as a result. Education Commissioner Wayne Lewis later requested the names of all the sick-out participants to be reviewed by the Labor Secretary. The investigation found that over 1,000 teachers, quote, clearly violated Kentucky law by causing work stoppages. Normally, the cabinet has the authority to prosecute those teachers. However, no one will be charged this time. I'm Haley Hansen.
A natural gas pipeline in Kentucky that exploded this month and killed one person has a history of deadly accidents. The Courier-Journal reports six people in Kentucky and nine in total have died in gas explosions along the Texas Eastern Transmission Company's pipeline since 1985. It stretches from Texas to New York, and almost all of its nearly 700 miles that run through Kentucky predate 1970. The newspaper says an investigation of the pipeline owned by Canada-based Enbridge found that it exploded in 1985 and 1986 in Kentucky, killing five people. Federal officials say the explosions were due to corroding pipes, and they say corrosion caused about 30% of the 83 significant Texas Eastern incidents since that time. The cause of this month's blast is still under investigation.
Lexington police say they are investigating a shooting on Venetian Circle last night. According to WKYT, police say they responded to a shots fired call just after 8:30 p.m. Officers say they found a 17-year-old male with a gunshot wound. They say he was shot twice following a fight. He has been taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Lexington police say they are still looking for a suspect. However, they do not have a description. Investigators are asking anyone with information to come forward.
A judge pushed back the trial date for a former Marshall University student charged with sexual assault for the second time. In a Cabell County courtroom this morning, Judge Alfred Ferguson moved the trial against 22-year-old Joseph Harden to November the 12th. The prosecution has evidence the defense hasn't seen yet due to a hard drive malfunction, prompting the judge to delay the proceedings. Harden is facing four counts of second-degree sexual assault. Two female Marshall students accused him of attacking them in separate incidents off campus in the fall of 2018. The former Marshall student is currently in jail serving his sentence from a previous conviction. On July 26th of this year, Judge Ferguson revoked Harden's probation and reinstated the jail sentence. The judge said Harden violated the terms of his probation by drinking and allegedly committing new crimes. Harden was also a student at the time of the alleged assault in 2018. Marshall University eventually expelled him for violating student conduct policies.
Kentucky State Police are investigating after a woman's body was found near the Kentucky River. A Madison County coroner responded to reports of a body found on Old Richmond Road. According to WKYT, State Trooper Robert Purdy said the Richmond Post was contacted at approximately 9 p.m. Saturday night. Police say the body of an unidentified female has been sent to Frankfort for an autopsy identification. The Madison County coroner has not released information on the state of the body. Anyone with information about the investigation is asked to contact the KSP Richmond Post at 859-623-2404.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for the counties of Boyd, Greenup, and Lewis. Partly cloudy tonight, a low around 67. 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow, mainly after 3 p.m. Otherwise, mostly sunny and hot with a high near 90. Tuesday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly cloudy skies, a low around 71. For Wednesday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 2 p.m. Otherwise, partly sunny skies with a high near 89. It's currently 92 degrees in Flemingsburg, 93 in Maysville, Inez, and Ashland, 94 degrees in Winchester, 95 over in Lexington, and here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University, it's currently 93 degrees. On our feature segment today, members of the Rowan County community are working together to improve livability downtown. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has the story.
Back in July, a group met to discuss the future of a trail running through the entirety of downtown Moorhead. Called the Triplet Valley Trail, it would provide a safe path for residents to walk, run, or bike from one side of Moorhead to the other. Jessica Lawrence facilitated the meeting. She says the trail would also provide comfortable walking.
I moved from Oregon where we have those big mountains, but it's not like this. And so, you know, to find a place to run or walk or bike that's not hilly can be challenging. So to find somewhere that is a little bit more manageable is a great place for people to start to become physically active, no matter what their age.
Becky Davison works at Moorhead State University and attended the meeting. She says the trail has the potential to bring a new group of people to the area.
This multi-generational, family-friendly livability, we want our town to be attractive. We talked about, you know, people coming to work here but not living here, like at the hospital, at the university. So we wanted to have more images of families using the trail.
Bob Franzini, another attendee, says the city could hold distance challenges to encourage residents to use the trail.
This means that everybody can participate and develop a certain amount of distance over a period of a summer using the trail. There would be corporate sponsors.
Scott Davison is spearheading the trail campaign. He says the project would be great for the community.
People of all ages to achieve health benchmarks in terms of crossing distance across the community. What if you saw evidence that the community improved over time because of being more active?
Becky Davison says health isn't just important to residents of the community.
We have some big employers, university, hospital, and more coming in that could support this.
Yes.
And would build sort of their health within their organization.
Overall, Scott Davison says the project has been in the works for nearly two decades.
There's always been a lot of support for this project in the community. We never know when we plan something like this, but it's a really strong showing. People from all walks of life with different things to offer. So it was a really terrific event and a really good sign for us moving forward.
The group's next meeting will be held August 19th from 6 to 8 p.m. in the First Baptist Church Fellowship Hall. They ask that anyone who wishes to attend sends an RSVP so food and childcare can be arranged. For more information or to get involved, visit the group's Facebook page, Daniel Boone Rails to Trails. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
It's 448 and 93 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Tandy Wallingford, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio right here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this hot and sunny Monday afternoon. Ty Martin has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Moorhead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
The Vikings are set to host the Colonels tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Ty Martin. The Round County boys soccer team will compete in their home opener tonight in Moorhead. The Vikings host Bourbon County after a draw with Western Hills on the road last week. Head coach Max Hammond says his team's work in the offseason has prepared them for a strong start.
We played competition like it was a little lower our first two games we had there, and we didn't play all that well. But, we won both those games, and then we faced a little better competition the next two games and did really well. So, you know, a little kind of mixed results, but, you know, overall I was happy with it. And we seemed like they were fitting in the system of play a lot better those last two games. And overall, I was really happy with how it went.
Game time tonight at Round County High School is set for 6:30 p.m. Volleyball action also begins tonight across the region. 2018 16th region runner-up Boyd County hosts Holy Family Ashland Blazer is looking to improve on their 17-13 season last year as they traveled to Greenup County. West Carter is hoping to repeat a successful 2018 season as they host Elliott County tonight. Game time is set for 7 p.m. in all of these games, and Bath travels to Montgomery County for a 7:30 matchup. The Morehead State women's basketball team has added a new member to the coaching staff. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
Jamie Burnbeck will serve as the team's graduate assistant. Burnbeck, who is a native of Garden City, Kansas, joins head coach Greg Todd's staff after playing three seasons at Nebraska Kearney and earning a bachelor's degree in exercise science with a minor in health science. During her time at UNK, Burnbeck started in 26 games at the forward position and shot 50% from the field. She also performed well in the classroom, where she was a three-time Mid-American Intercollegiate Athletics Association Academic Honor Roll member. During her time at Morehead State, Burnbeck will pursue her master's degree and wellness promotion. For WMKY Sports, I'm Cody Robinson.
Morehead State kicks off its season on Thursday. The Eagles host the Bulldogs of Union College in their home opener. MSU has many new faces on offense, but head coach Rob Tenier says there is veteran leadership returning at the running back position.
That's kind of where our experience is at, right? We got Jovan Smith that's back, Isaiah Aguero that played in three games last year, and he redshirted. And you guys got a little taste of him. You know, he's a physical runner. He's good in the pass game. And then we got some other guys too. You know, you got Mario back there, Caminuto, and we got a young guy, young freshman out of Louisville, we're really excited about.
The Eagles are looking to bounce back after a 3-8 campaign last season. Kickoff for the season opener at Jane Stadium is set for 6 p.m. on Thursday. Kentucky basketball assistant coach Kenny Payne has been linked to the Michael Avenetti case involving Nike EYBL director Carlton Dubois. According to a report by Yahoo Sports, the shoe company allegedly funneled money through Dubois to AAU basketball coaches. Yahoo Sports reports Dubois participated in a text message exchange on July 6, 2017 with an assistant coach at the University of Kentucky, according to the motion. The exhibits show a text conversation between someone with the initials KP and Dubois. The Louisville Courier Journal reports, during the text message exchange with the numbers associated with KP, Dubois acknowledges payments to about 10 EYBL coaches who are, quote, helping families to the total of about $200,000 annually. It is not clear if Payne accepted or requested any money. Jack Whitaker, whose Hall of Fame broadcasting career ranged from the first Super Bowl to Secretariat's Triple Crown to short essays from majoring sporting events, died Sunday morning. CBS said Whitaker died of natural causes in his sleep in Pennsylvania. He was 95. Whitaker, a Philadelphia native who was wounded on the Omaha Beach 3 days after the D-Day invasion, began his broadcast at WCAU-TV in Philadelphia and spent 22 years for CBS Sports. He worked for ABC from 1982 in the news and sports divisions and was a part of the network's Olympics coverage in 1984 and 1988. Whitaker had been the only living play-by-play announcer from the first 21 Super Bowls. CBS Sports chairman Sean McManus said Whitaker's writing presence on the air and humanity were unmatched. The Cincinnati Reds open a three-game series with the visiting San Diego Padres tonight at Great American Ballpark. Both teams come into the night with identical 58-65 records. The Reds send right-hander Trevor Bauer to the mound. He is 10-9 on the year with a 4.12 ERA. The Padres counter with left-hander Eric Lauer, who comes with a 6-8 record. First pitch in Cincinnati is set for 7:10 tonight. The game can be seen on Fox Sports Ohio. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Tom Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Soccer host Butler at 7 p.m. on Thursday, and volleyball host Bellarmine at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Football's first home game is Thursday, August 29th at 6 p.m., hosting Union College. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose sharply as Treasury yields rebounded, quelling fears of a possible recession. Equities also got a boost after the U.S. agreed to extend a temporary reprieve to Chinese telecom giant Huawei. The Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 249.78, or 1% at 26,135.79. The S&P 500 gained 1.2% to close at 2923.65 as the energy and tech sectors outperformed, and the NASDAQ Composite advanced 1.4% to end the day at 8,002.81. And, of course, these gains add to a rebound that started last week after the Dow posted its worst session of 2019. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield rose to about 1.6% from 1.54%, and bank shares rose along with the higher Treasury yields. Bank of America was up 1%, and J.P. Morgan Chase was as well up about 1%. Citigroup climbed about 1.3%. Overnight, the People's Bank of China unveiled an interest rate reform, and this was aimed at lowering borrowing costs for Chinese companies. And in Germany, the government is reportedly preparing fiscal stimulus measures in case the country's economy falls into a recession. And this hope of monetary stimulus overseas had a big hand in today's good market action. President Trump, of course, said yesterday he does not see a recession on the horizon in the U.S. after a volatile week for the markets. And, of course, the president is calling for the Federal Reserve to be easier on interest rates and, in actuality, cut interest rates in the coming months. In individual news on companies today, chip makers were very strong with on semiconductor and advanced micro devices were up 2.7% and 1% respectively. Micron Technology rose 3.4%, and the Vector Semiconductor ETF was up 1.7%. Also, Apple was up 2% today. This coming after the CEO, Tim Cook, spoke with President Trump yesterday, and the U.S. president said Cook made a, quote, good case that it would be hard for Apple to pay tariffs, while Samsung does not face the same level of duties given its manufacturing in South Korea. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX up 20 cents at $65.29, Delta Airlines up 14 cents at $58.18, Lowe's up $1.13 at $95.05, Marathon Petroleum up $1.57 at $47.79, and Community Trust Bank was up 7 cents to finish at $40.59. Reporting for WNKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays downtown Moorhead on U.S. 60 near the City Park. The Round County Farmers Market offers homegrown fruits, vegetables, and baked goods. Accepting WIC and Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Vouchers and participating in the Community Farm Alliance Double Dollars Program, supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky proud.
Taking a look at some community events coming up in our region, the Rowan County Fiscal Court and City of Moorhead announced that the Laughlin Health Building is now open to the public. The facility offers recreational opportunities for all ages, including indoor walking, meeting rooms, basketball and racquetball courts, open weekdays 8 a.m. to 9:30 p.m., Saturdays 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sundays 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. The Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling will host a Woodsongs Coffeehouse concert at 7 p.m. on Thursday, August 22nd, featuring country singer and songwriter Nick Jamerson. Tickets are $8 for adults and $5 for students. Rowan County Christmas will host a charity golf scramble on Saturday, August 24th at Eagle Trace Golf Course. Registration begins at 8 a.m. and play begins at 9 a.m. The cost is $75 and includes complimentary food, beverages, and prizes. Call 356-1661 or online at rowancountychristmas.org. A blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at the Adrian Doran University Center at Moorhead State University from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Monday and Tuesday, August 26th and 27th. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Joe Lewis, Tanner Boyd, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Lacia Hennenberg, Wyatt Melton, Chanasy Davis, Cody Robinson, Haley Stidham, and Ty Martin. KNN's Haley Hansen, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Keneally Roberts. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Tandy Wallingford and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.